Lord God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, we pray that you would breathe on us and that you would open us up to your word, that we might hear it and that we might live it. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. And again, Father Bill, I know you don't look ahead to see the lessons, but thank you for giving me these wonderfully heartwarming scriptures. No doubt that when you all were listening, you picked up on the theme of persecution in the scripture text today. In our Old Testament lesson, we hear Jeremiah whining. I'm sorry, in scripture we call it lamenting. He's lamenting that God has deceived him. Everyone seems to be out to get him. They're mocking him. They're ridiculing him. He believes that they're whispering against him. He sort of comes across as a paranoid prophet. But as Belinda pointed out to me this morning before she left, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean that people aren't really out to get you. And they were. They were out to get him. But Jeremiah realized that he had to keep telling them God's word. He had to keep preaching God's word, even though he knew they didn't want to hear it. He was compelled to do it. He said, "But if I say, I will not mention his word or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary holding it in. Indeed, I cannot." And Psalm 69, which you heard, the psalmist laments, not whines, but laments that I endure scorn for your sake, and shame covers my face. I am a foreigner in my own family, a stranger to my own mother's children. Zeal for your house consumes me, and the insults of those who insult you fall on me. When I weep and fast, I must endure scorn. And then we come to, I'm sure, everybody's favorite New Testament passage. This is Jesus sending out his disciples, and our text picks up, "I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves." But the context of this is Jesus sending the 12 out on their missionary journey. And if you remember, he tells them, don't go to the Gentiles, don't go to the Samaritans. And as you go, proclaim this message: the kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. And then he tells them, you know, how to pack and what to take with them and where to go and where not to go. But then he does say, Jesus at this point expands the teaching. He's not just talking about what the disciples are going to encounter in this missionary journey, but it's sort of a telescoping message or a telescoping prophecy where he tells what's going to happen in the future church. And it starts off seemingly with one of the great mismatches of all time: sheep versus wolves. And I was curious about that, and I wondered how do the disciples hear this? I could imagine Peter saying something like, "Sheep among wolves, you said we were going to be fishers of men. You didn't tell me that, you know, we were going to go out and be beaten." But in the sheep versus wolf, I want to just do a comparison contrast. A sheep, as you all know, is a herbivore. And they have chisel-like incisors for cutting plants. They have ridged molars to grind their food. Their jaws will move from side to side. But they do not bite in defense. And they're coming up against the wolves, who are carnivores. Wolves have long, sharp teeth. They are made for ripping, tearing, and cutting flesh. The most important teeth are those sharp incisors in the front because they latch on to the prey. And again, when we look at what the sheep have cloven hooves for traction and for climbing steep grade. The wolves have claws. Their claws are to help increase their speed and their traction and to give them their great agility. And here's one that'll warm your heart. The sheep, when it does bite, has a bite force of 70 pounds per square inch. And as I said before, they don't bite in defense. Their only defense that God gave them is that they can kick with their hind legs and they can butt with their heads. The wolf's normal bite force is 400 pounds per square inch. And when it's protecting itself, a large wolf can bite with the force of 1,200 pounds per square inch. If you want to compare it to yourself, average human, 162 pounds per square inch on a tough steak. Now, here's one thing the sheep do have. They can run in short bursts 20 miles per hour. It's pretty impressive. Until you consider that a wolf can run in short bursts at 40 miles per hour. A wolf at 20 miles per hour can run for 2 hours. It's a mismatch. Or it would be. It would be if Jesus had said to us, "I'm sending you out to fight wolves." He didn't. That's not what he sent. He sent us out as sheep among wolves, not to fight, not to be eaten. We are sent to proclaim the word of God to the wolves. We are sent to the wolves to tell them what Jesus told his disciples to tell, that the kingdom of God is near. We're to proclaim the word with signs and wonders. Jesus' great desire in sending us out among wolves is that the wolves would come to believe in him and that they would become part of the flock. He doesn't want the sheep or the wolves to put on sheep's clothing. What he wants is for the wolves to become sheep, to become part of his flock. And to help accomplish this, he gives us another set of animal metaphors. I mean, think about it in this introduction of our scripture passage today. In one verse, Jesus has a zoo, four animals, sending us out as sheep among wolves, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. To be shrewd as a snake means to be wise. I know we tend to think of snakes as being evil. A lot of people have the philosophy the only good snake would be a dead snake, but in the ancient Near East, snakes were seen as shrewd and wise. In fact, in Egyptian hieroglyphics, the snake means wisdom. And in Genesis 3:1, we're told, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made." Jesus is sending us out among wolves, but he wants us to be smart about it. And then he asks us to be as innocent as doves. Don't give them a legitimate reason to come after you. Be wise, be innocent. Jesus is telling us, remember that I am sending you out among wolves. Don't be stupid in the way you share the gospel. You're to be good stewards of what God has given. All of us are. We're to be good stewards with our lives. Our lives are a gift from God. We're to be good stewards with the gospel message, which has been given to us as a gift from God. And we're told to stand and at times flee. And it sounds almost contradictory, but look at verses 22 and 23 in chapter 10. Jesus said, "You will be hated by everyone because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one place, flee to another." Brings us to a dilemma that a lot of Christians had faced through the years when there has been persecution. When do you flee? When do you flee from danger? And when do you embrace it and witness to it? Think of Paul in the 9th chapter of Acts. Good example. In the 9th chapter of Acts, we have the story of Paul's conversion on the road to Damascus, and then his healing. And then we are told that Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once he began to preach in the synagogue with that Jesus is the Son of God, and all who heard him were astonished. And so Paul stood. But then, after several days had gone by, we're told in verse 23, there was a conspiracy among the Jews to kill him. But Saul learned of their plan. And he was lowered by night by his friends through an opening in the wall of the city. There is a time to stand, there is a time to flee, and you have to be wise to know which is which. A lot of you know John Bunyan. You know the name John Bunyan because he wrote that probably one of the most famous Christian works, Pilgrim's Progress. John Bunyan was a Puritan preacher, and he was preaching at a time when it was illegal to be a Puritan preacher. Or you could be one as long as you didn't preach. And John Bunyan published some 40 books, maybe more. But one that he wrote called Seasonal Counsels, or Advice to Sufferers, he addressed this question: when do you flee and when do you stand? When does one fly? When does one stand? Bunyan wrote this book from prison. And he knew what he was talking about because he had been faced with that dilemma. He had been told not to preach. And like the apostles, when they were told by the Sanhedrin that you can not speak anymore in his name, John Bunyan said to them, "I have to obey God rather than man." And he had a reason to flee. He had a reason because his wife had died 2 years prior. He had remarried. He had 4 children at home, one of whom was blind. And he had to provide for them. But he could not not preach. I have to use a double negative in there. He had to preach the word of God. So what advice does he give to people who face this dilemma? What do we do? And here's what he wrote. "Thou mayest do in this as is in thy heart. If it is in thy heart to fly, fly. If it is in thy heart to stand, stand. Anything but denial of the truth. He that flies has warrant to do so. He that stands has warrant to do so. Yea, the same men may both fly and stand." As is called by the working of God in his heart. How do you know what to do? God by His Holy Spirit speaking to you in your heart, will tell you what to do. But you have to listen. You have to listen as sheep. We have to listen to our shepherd. You have to listen if you're going to follow. Now, being raised in America, and I'm sure you all have heard this, I grew up hearing it, you know, when we would talk about the martyrs or people who had been persecuted or people who are persecuted today, it was always in foreign lands, always somewhere else. And they would say, well, you know, there isn't any real true persecution in the United States. And we have the sense that, well, the wolves in this part of the world are pretty tame. They're not coming after us. We're okay. People aren't locked up like they were. Of course, people don't know their history, so they'll say, you know, like something like they were in the days of yore or long ago. As I knew people didn't know their history when I saw this morning on the news that people marching for Black Lives Matter in London tore down a statue of Abraham Lincoln. Obviously, they're not very familiar with history. But they'll say, you know, people aren't locked up like they were years ago. We're not persecuted. No one's trying to stamp us out. We're tolerated. Listen carefully to this scripture, and you need to remember it. It's from 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Will be persecuted. All who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. This is the same chapter where we read that all scripture is God-breathed. Those words are God-breathed. We will be persecuted if we live a godly life in Christ Jesus. So if we're not being persecuted, as Jesus said we would be, and as Scripture says we should be, and Paul said to Timothy, is it because the wolves have become nicer? Are the wolves becoming more gentle? Or is it because the church has become sheep in wolves' clothing? We're not being persecuted by and large because the church has become so much like the world. We're practically indistinguishable. Why should they listen to us? Why should they listen? Because we've learned to tone it down. You don't want to be a radical. You don't want people to see you as some kind of Jesus freak. We tone it down so that no one will be offended. That's a right in America. Everybody in America has the right now not to be offended. I didn't know that when I was growing up. But now, everybody has the right not to be offended. And so we don't offend. We tone it down. We've become non-confrontational. We've learned to back off with the message. We have begun to think that telling people about the kingdom, they don't want to hear it. It's irrelevant. When in reality, the people who are marching in the streets right now are crying out for the very things that are promised in the kingdom. They cry out for justice. Our king is just. They cry out for freedom. And Jesus said, when the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. They're crying out for peace. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, is in this kingdom. They're crying out for equality. Our King created every man and woman on this earth in his image. Jesus is sending us out as sheep among wolves with a message that is more relevant than ever. The wolves need to hear what the sheep have been sent to share with them, if they will only share it. The world hates the Word of God. Remember that. The world hates the Word of God. Ask Jeremiah. Ask David. Ask the Apostle Paul. They were persecuted for their relationship and their obedience to God. And remember what we read in 2 Timothy. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Why are we not being persecuted? It's a question I guess each of us has to ask ourselves. Why am I not being persecuted? Why are we collectively not being persecuted? Perhaps it has to do with our proclamation. Now, years ago, I can't remember what year it was, Kevin Costner made a movie. He acted in it. He directed it. Dances with Wolves. Do y'all remember that? I think there were only like two people in America that didn't like that movie. It was loved. It won a boatload of Oscars. And in the movie, he was given it in. The Lakota Indians gave him the name Dances with Wolves because they saw him playing with a wolf and dancing with it. And that became his warrior name, Dances with Wolves. And I think it would be great. It would be great if all of us got a warrior name. And that name would be Preaches to Wolves. We need to become the sheep that we were called to be. We need to listen to our shepherd. We need to follow our shepherd. And we need to boldly preach to the wolves. Amen.